The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar.
We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You're listening to a special episode of the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and you can listen to us on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. I am Jeff Martin, alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berger. Follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, what a weekend it was. Wishing everyone a great Memorial Day that just passed. And man, we got full of not only barbecue, but also wrestling, pro wrestling, on Saturday night, Balco Pro with May the Queen Reign. And of course, the debut of Innovative Pro Wrestling One in the Chamber. Trendsetter, man, how you doing? Do you still have hangover from an amazing weekend?
Oh, I still have a hangover from WrestleMania weekend. I still haven't recovered from that. And, you know, definitely getting our fill not only of food, but getting our fill of professional wrestling. The things that Battle Club Pro did for their show, All Women Show, and IPW, first ever event for them. I have to say it was a home run all the way. They knocked it out of the park. And I just can't wait in terms of not only with the audience excited, the talent's excited. I'm sure the promoters are, but we're excited to see what the future holds for both promotions.
Yeah, Richfield Park, New Jersey was rocking. And let's start off first with the all-women show on Saturday night for Battle Club Pro. They promised a lot of things, and they delivered too. And kudos to everybody there associated with Battle Club Pro. The first ever Icons Championship was crowned, and Jordan Grace is now the belt collector as far as the women goes, because she also collected another belt, and that is, you know, the title for Battle Club Pro. So congratulations to her, and she beat Harlow O'Hara in the finals. But of course, everyone is talking about the matchup, the first time ever between Tessa Blanchard and Mia Yim. It was amazing to watch it live. Trendsetter, your thoughts?
My thoughts is, very rarely, Jeff, do we see things of firsts in professional wrestling. To be part of Battle Club Pro, that event, to see Mia Yim coming back of not too long ago, announcing that that match was going to happen, still dealing with the effects of a broken leg and recuperating from that 100%. I'm sure their nerves were there, but really more when you're in the audience and you're there, you feel the anticipation, you feel the excitement in the crowd. Basically, a girl like Tessa Blanchard, so let me rephrase that, a woman like Tessa Blanchard and Mia Yim standing toe-to-toe, face-to-face, don't even have to touch for people to get excited of what could possibly be, and ultimately what we all hoped and anticipated lived up to par.
And again, like you said, you don't really get first time ever, so Battle Club Pro delivered on that in an amazing matchup. The crowd was so into it, man. Like I said, you can feel the goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
When they faced off. They gave it that
the hairs were sticking on the back of my neck.
They gave it that little time that, you know, you wanted to absorb just the crowd reaction to, and they did a great job, man. From the inside to the outside of the ring, I think it was a very amazing match, and I think, you know, arguably the best match in Battle Club Pro history.
Yeah, I would definitely say there is no argument against that in terms of what they did and how they accomplished it. Just amazing ring psychology. And the thing is, you know, you knew the moment these two were going to touch, when it eventually did happen, there was going to be magic. And we were left just amazed and, dare I say, wanting more.
Definitely, and you know, you may get more in the future, who knows, but we'll leave it up to Battle Club Pro to book the matches. But again, trendsetter, Tessa Blanchard and Mia Yim. Mia Yim, of course, of the Mae Young Classic, and who knows where she will end up. Definitely should be on the radar of WWE, and for now, Tessa Blanchard is on Impact Wrestling, but she's making her name all over the place, you know, on the independent circuit, and we are so thankful that she was able to make it to Battle Club Pro. But back to Mia Yim. She's coming back from injury, and this is one of her first matches back, and it was great to catch up with her in Richfield Park, New Jersey, and to have her on the High Spot Podcast again. So she is a returning guest on the show, and we were able to catch up and talk to Mia, talk about the all the events and how she felt with her matchup against Tessa Blanchard. So without further ado, here is Mia Yim on the High Spot Podcast.
All right, trendsetter, wow, man. I just saw probably the greatest women's match in history that I've witnessed in person.
Jeff, wait. Before you get into this whole thing, I saw the greatest match.
Yeah, that was
I've ever witnessed.
Yeah, that was something else, Mia. That was amazing. You and Tessa Blanchard here. We are a Battlecope Pro, May the Queen Reign. What an amazing night, Mia, man. That was just, how did it feel? To steal the show, probably.
I still feel dead.
Yeah.
But first match coming back from injury, back to Battle Club, so I gotta make it count, make it memorable.
Oh, you definitely did. What was the anticipation like? Because not too long ago, you were standing in the middle of the ring, you weren't 100%, it was freezing in this building, and you announced it was going to happen. How was the build-up anticipation for you getting ready for something like this? Obviously, you're getting yourself prepared physically, what about mentally?
The mental game was the hardest part. I can go to the gym all day and go to PT, but it's like if I'm mentally not there, then it's going to be hard for me to push myself. Mm-hmm. So I had to literally tell me, like, this injury is either going to make me or break me, and I'll be damned if it break me.
Oh, yeah.
So coming back, I wanted to make sure that I was better than pre-injury. Like, I wanted to really take the time, the 4 months off, to really build, you know, my character, promos, things that I couldn't do physically, and I noticed that that's what I was lacking before. So I'm just trying to fill in the gaps, and it's just coming back. I just want to make there was some hype behind my coming back, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody was satisfied. I didn't want to disappoint anyone, and especially I didn't want to disappoint myself.
Yeah. Well, if there was any hesitation in you or anything like that, or any, like, you know, if you any fear, you kind of let it all out here today. I mean, that was
Which is why she's so tired.
Yeah, that was like back and forth. You guys went to the outside. You guys did some crazy stuff over there. The crowd went home happy, I believe.
Good.
So talk about, for example, just your feelings on just, like, being able for an all-women show to have the crowd amped up. Let's be honest. We've been to most of the Battlecope Pros this year and a little bit last year, and this is as good as it got as far as crowd-wise.
Yeah.
How does it feel to leave the crowd here? Like, they're still here. They're still around here looking for some autographs. How does it feel?
It's awesome to actually work a couple Battle Club shows before and to be a part of the first ever all-women's Battle Club and for the crowd to be hot from the beginning all the way through the end. Like, it was just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just the wrestlers in the ring. Like, it was the fans as well. So they're the ones that give us the energy to keep going as hard as we do. So it was awesome just to, like, watch half of the show to see the fans invested in it. And then even during my match with Tessa, it was our first ever singles match, and I felt like we have such great chemistry. And like I've always said, just I may not like Tessa as a person, but damn it, do I respect her as a wrestler.
Did you get the goosebumps in the ring? You still get them? Did you still get the goosebumps in there? That was
It had nothing to do with the cold this time. She literally got the goosebumps from the energy of the crowd and how into it they were, even before they even touched. That was that was the exciting part about it. You said, you know, during the injury you wanted to come back better than you were before. With this, obviously, it's the first one here at Battle Club Pro for you. But do you feel like you've lived up to that? Do you think you're better?
I'm a perfectionist, and I'm very hard
on
myself, so I feel like I still have a lot more to go and a lot more to do, but I'm happy with what's been happening, like, just with my first coming back WrestleMania weekend and just kind of getting the ball rolling, the momentum going. I'm really enjoying the ride and just busting my ass.
You said you missed it.
Very much.
Was that a huge indication when you first went back in the ring, it just felt right again?
The first match, I was literally shaking. I was terrified just because it wasn't because I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to do it. It was just more of the mental, like, what if I suck? What if I don't remember how to do this? What if the fans don't welcome me or they don't care? So it was just all a mental game. And then when I first went back in the ring and the crowd was just behind me, it was like it felt right. It felt like I belong.
I mean, you're back into it. It is like the Memorial Day weekend here. So you guys are always traveling. So you're used to traveling. And, you know, kind of a little bit of the scare was, you know, Memorial Day, are people going to come in? And they came in droves here tonight.
Yes.
And so my question to you is, like now, is it you're used to the travel? You got to go back home, I believe. You got to go back home to, did you go back to California?
I went to, like, a vacation to visit my sister in Oakland a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice little break from just wrestling, just to get away, just to be with my sister. And then end of June, I'm going to SoCal where more of my family is at. But then I'm also going to wrestle. So it'll be the first time they're going to be seeing me wrestle live. So I'm really excited. Like all my
excited and nervous, too.
Very much. Because I'm seeing some of my old friends that we all grew up in like the block together. And some of them are still there. So they're going to be coming to the show. And it's like, man, I haven't seen you guys in like 20 years. This is going to be great. Just to, like, finally. Because in California on the street, we would play wrestling in the yard. Yeah. So it's going to be awesome to see them in the crowd to show them, like, hey, I chipped my tooth taking a real Stone Cold Stunner, but here I am doing the thing.
And look where you are now, right?
So yeah, exactly.
You know, it was great to see that you're going to be all in. And, you know, we will be all in, so we're probably going to see you there.
Book
and
before flip.
Yeah, but can he get – he'll have a chance soon to get booked. We'll see if it happens. Yeah. So talk about that. Talk about that whole experience and finding out you're going to be there. And just you excited for that crowd for Labor Day weekend?
I'm very excited. The people that I know is going to be there, like they're all my friends. Yeah. It's going to be a nice reunion. I'm just going to enjoy the fact that hopefully Flip won't be there. He'll be in the stands. So I'll be making sure to –
Farrow gets booked before Flip, man. That's crazy.
But it's gonna be exciting. I'm super excited for that.
Is it does the build up for? Does that feel like a WrestleMania weekend that you were part of in New Orleans? It's like it's a 4-day experience.
It was sold out in like 30 minutes, and then
29.50.
Yeah. And then you got the con from like Thursday, Friday, Sunday, the show Saturday. So yeah, it definitely feels like another WrestleMania weekend.
For WrestleMania weekend compared to this right now, for you as a performer going out there, it's got to be exciting, but also it's got to be very emotionally draining too for you, right, when you're in there. So how do you amp yourself up for stuff like that? Because you're going to be up all night long doing stuff and things, you have obligations, and then having to focus on performing and doing your best.
Well, everyone that knows me, I'm a old soul. So when I go to a wrestling show or wrestling weekend, like, I'm very business. I'm very professional. I'm not there to party. I'm not there. I don't drink. I don't smoke. So I go do my job, make sure that my job is done well. And then I'm very big on rest. So I always get my sleep. So you'll never see me at a party. You'll never like see me out drinking or whatever, just because I would rather go to my hotel room and sleep to prepare for the next show that I have.
Oh, yeah. What I meant more is not just that. It's just sort of the excitement. I got to go to this show, and then I got to do this, and then I got to work with this person and that person. It's got to be somewhat emotionally draining. Like, you're excited, but when it's all over, you're like, ooh, I need a break from this for a little bit.
Yeah, I think because I was off for 4 months, I think I'm just like...
Making up for lost time?
Yeah.
She's ready. She's like, bring it on. She's like, bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, right now, I'm just like, all right, let's go. I'm ready to work.
And final one for me, Mia, because I know... Listen, believe me when I say this. It was the best match in Battle Club Pro history, so she needs to go rest. But final one for me, like you said, when you're going to be part of All In, you're going to be there at the end of that fan experience. But how does it feel when you look at independent wrestling can do that? A 10,000 seat arena with Cody and the Young Bucks and their entrepreneurship. Does that drive you? Is that something that
it gives me hope to know that, like, although WWE is my goal, like that's my number one. It's nice to see that they're. It's not the only place to go. So something that Cody and the Bucks are doing, like, that could possibly be another top notch. Yeah. Like, so I'm just excited to see the different options because I've done everything that I've wanted to before. And it's like, what more can I do? Oh, Cody and the Bucks are doing something. I get to be a part of that. Like, I feel honored. So it's nice to just see the other options that are just as good.
And what do you have coming up now? So now, like you said, you're back in the grind. What else do you have coming up now ahead of you?
Tomorrow, I'm wrestling at Beyond versus Keith Lee for his last match.
Wow. That intergender thing is just as... Yeah. So you're
you retired today.
Tessa to Keith Lee. Man.
Yep. Oh, man. And then next weekend, I'm going to be at Smash wrestling Matt Riddle. So.
Whoa. You're really trying to make up for last time, aren't you?
I'm reclaiming my time.
You're like, bring it on, I'm ready. Mia, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
It was great seeing this. History was made here tonight at Battle Club Pro. May the Queen reign. And, you know, just best of luck, continued success.
Thank you.
Possible Mae Young Classic 2, you never know.
You never know. Mia. That's just the funny thing about this business is you never know. And how could you not enjoy Mia? Look at that smile. So happy.
Thank you, Mia, so much.
Thank you guys for having me again.
Yeah. All right, Trendsetter, great to hear from Mia Yim on the show. You can catch the video to this interview on the YouTube channel. Just hit High Spot Podcast and subscribe, like, and you will get to see it in video form.
Yes, video form. You have the audio of Mia Yim's beautiful voice, and you get to see the person up close and personal on our YouTube channel as well. But, Jeff, what can I say, man? She was smiling from ear to ear, and I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that she won the match and defeated Tessa Blanchard. It was more of her kind of finally accomplishing something that she had set out for ever since she got injured, getting back in the ring and feeling confident enough knowing that, you know, not only did she, in my opinion, not lose a step, but also the mental grind that one goes when they're recuperating from an injury, but also knowing that she's better than she's been before in the past.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, just to see her obviously shake the nerves off really fast.
And she admitted it, too. She was a little nervous.
And again, too, the best thing that I got out of that, too, is that they might not be fond of each other, maybe outside of the ring, but when they're in the ring, she respects Tessa as one of the very best. And we got one of the very best matches ever in Battle Club Pro history. I'm not sure when this matchup will be released. I'm sure Battle Club Pro will definitely keep you guys aware of when it will be released. But you guys need to catch this when you can, because this was an all-time classic. And again, we make a lot of comments here, but to say that this was the very best matchup in Battle Club Pro history is, again, you know, you can't argue with that, because it, you know, they've had a lot of tons of matches. Battle Club Pro, they've really made an impact, but this one right here, to me, as far as the females is concerned, is probably the greatest match ever on this for this promotion.
Not only are we saying it, Jeff, the promoters are saying it as well. Huh? They feel very strongly, not only that it was a all-women's event, but basically, when you see Mia Yim and Tessa Blanchard, the pros that they are, what they can do in the ring, they basically showcased why, you know, and I know it gets cliche when I say it sometimes, Jeff, but why people love to watch professional wrestling, and seeing Tessa and Mia Yim, and seeing what the future holds for Battle Club Pro now with the Battle Club Pro Icons Championship. I can't wait to see it being defended again. I can't wait to see what the newest competition will be for that title.
And of course, Jordynne Grace is the new Icons Champion for Battle Club Pro. Can't say enough about her.
Congratulations goes out to her, man.
Yeah,
seriously.
really, you can't say enough about her wrestling. She is also one of the up-and-comers, too, also at a young age, 22, I believe. And I think that we have not even tapped the very best of her. But now she's collecting belts, man. Everywhere she goes, she's collecting those belts. She's also the Pro Wrestling Magic Women's Champion as well. So everywhere she goes, no matter what state, she has the ability to take that promotion's Women's Championship.
Another interesting thing about Jordynne Grace, Jeff, is that, you know, she also competed in a gauntlet match, which made her the final survivor to become the Battle Club Pro Icons Champion. But I had a match to advance to that gauntlet match against Rachel Ellery, and let's not take away from that. That was also an amazing match. I mean, you want to say second to the show, whatever order you want to put it in, is also very impressive. You know, yeah, she's collecting belts, but I think, you know, little by little, from when we saw her, from the very first time you and I saw her to when we had her on the show till now, it's just, I'm noticing not only the in-ring skill has always been sharper for her, but that confidence is growing more and more. So it's not about really a belt collecting type thing. For me, at least, when I look at Jordynne Grace, to me, it's she wants more competition. She wants to compete with the very best that the world has to offer, and she's doing a great job.
Yeah, but if she's going to collect belts, too, she doesn't mind it, too. She, remember, jewelry is a woman's best accessory and her best friend, too. So she's going to collect belts along the way. And yeah, you're a true trendsetter. It was a gauntlet match. The final two were Harlow O'Hara and Jordynne Grace. So let me be clear on that and specify that those were the two remaining females, and that's why it was, you know, maybe the final two there in the gauntlet match. Mm-hmm. But Jordynne Grace is now the face of the women's division, the Icons division in Battle Club Pro. But you were talking about the future, and there were so many great names that were on that card. And hopefully in the future we get to see Diamante in action too, of course. And also, again, she's from Impact Wrestling, but Kiera Hogan, who also is from Impact Wrestling, just at a young age too, at only 24 years old, we got to see her perform live, and she was able to join us for a few moments here on the High Spot Podcast from Richfield Park, New Jersey. Great to get her aspect of what it's like to wrestle, you know, in the bright lights in the metropolitan area, and to also, like, what does she have to learn, you know, at this early stage in career, and also, too, the early success that she's had in Impact Wrestling. So without further ado, here is our interview with Kiera Hogan from Impact Wrestling on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trentzer, we're going to find out if Hogan really knows best. Mm. Kiera Hogan's with us.
Wow, I'm sure she's never heard that one before.
Well, right. May the queen reign here in Richfield Park, New Jersey for Battle Club Pro. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Great. Here at an event, first time ever. You're going to be crowning your brand new first ever Battle Club Pro Women's Champion. When it comes to events like this, first times ever, it's very few and far between when it comes to professional wrestling.
Definitely. For all women's events, though, I feel like most of us do know each other. We've been around the block with each other a couple of times. But women's shows are always the best because, you know, most of the time we only get one women's match a card. And to have all women's shows to be such a big thing now, it's great. It's, again, another evolution, another stepping like stone for women.
Yeah, it seems like it's high in demand, too. A lot of people want to see it.
It very much is. I mean, obviously with the women's revolution going on right now, it's definitely more high in demand. But, you know, women on the indies been doing it forever. So the fact that we keep getting the opportunities to be able to work and do shows together with just women definitely gets to show. We get to showcase, like, what as women we can do.
Now, Impact Wrestling, a lot of people could say that they kind of started the women's revolution because of, you know, the roster and then the way they really portrayed the Knockouts in the beginning. And now you guys seem to have, like, a loaded roster right now. Mm-hmm. Talk about you entering Impact Wrestling. You kind of, you know, got in there, you know, had a title shot the first match. Talk about just Impact Wrestling and how it's opened doors for you and just, you know, just the atmosphere of Impact Wrestling.
Well, right now, I mean, being a part of Impact Wrestling is great. They're bringing lots of girls, Tessa, and they brought back Katarina, and, you know, it's a good dynamic at Impact right now as far as the women go. I used to watch TNA when I was a kid, and I could only imagine being a Knockout because I loved how different they were, and I loved how everybody looked different and everybody was able to be themselves. I feel they had way more leeway at the time, and obviously they pushed women a lot to do different things like ladder matches and cage matches and stuff like that. So they had a lot more leeway and were able to do a lot of things that women were able to do at the time. So I'm glad to be a part of the Knockouts division, especially knowing the history of the Knockouts.
Well, we're glad that you're part of it as well, and just watching you on a day-to-day basis every week on Impact, it's great. Something in terms about, you know, finding yourself is always a huge transition in terms of in this business. Everyone needs to find themselves, not only in terms of stylistically in the ring, but also yourself as a quote-unquote character, persona. Where do you feel you are right now in your career? Do you feel like you're at that point where you kind of have figured that out, and then it's not just an evolution? You're still trying to figure things out as you go?
I'm definitely still trying to figure things out. I mean, the Girl on Fire has definitely grown a lot in the past 3 years.
Definitely.
Like, I remember when I first started doing the Girl on Fire, and now that I've been able to, like, really take hold of what actually it is and been able to use, like, different fire quotes and lyrics and just been able to get a lot of inspiration from a lot of different things, I feel like the Girl on Fire has hit a plateau, honestly. I feel like now, right at this point, I do need an evolution.
So you're like crossroads right now, trying
to figure like
out.
I just feel like now, like, I'm still trying to figure out completely the Girl on Fire, but I feel like there needs to be, like, a switch of some sort as far as my character goes.
Now, when did you, you know, realize that this is something that I wanted to do, that you wanted to be a wrestler? I know you've, you know, you've done Reality of Wrestling, you've also done Shine, and so you know, where did you get that passion? Where did you get that drive to, like, want to start being a professional wrestler?
That fire,
exactly.
Pun intended.
Right, all intended. I was actually 14 when I decided I wanted to be a wrestler. I was in middle school, and I was like, I was obsessed with it. Like, I was watching wrestling every night, and I would write down the results in a notebook and share it with my friends the next day. I was obsessed with it. So I was, like, playing soccer at the time. I knew I wanted – I kind of felt like I wanted to go into soccer, but then I was like, I don't know what I really want to do. And I loved wrestling. There was just something about it that I was so passionate about. And I was like, I really think I can do this. So when I graduated high school, I started looking into where I could go. And FCW was, like, one of the first places, because when I wanted to be a wrestler, I didn't know that you're supposed to go to the indies. And then I was like, oh,
back
you just
in my
go?
Day.
Right, you go straight to WWE.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to go to FCW. And then, but FCW was expensive, and I didn't have a job. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stay in Atlanta. And I ended up going to WWA4, which was, again, I just looked up wrestling schools. Yeah. I Googled it. WWA4 in Atlanta was the first place that popped up, and I just happened to live in Atlanta, so that's why.
So some people, you know, get their first bump, and they're like, ouch, and then they never do it again. So obviously you took your first bump.
I've seen
that. And obviously you took your first bump, and you're like, oh, I love it. I want more, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, after that first one, it was kind of like a dream. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I want to do it again. Like, yeah. I was just so excited. I was just so ready to learn everything that I could at the time. Like, and even to this day, when I get in the ring with anybody, I feel like I learn so much. Like, no matter who I'm in the ring with, if they've been in the business a short amount of time than me or a longer amount of time, like, I feel like I just learn so much every time I step in the ring, and like that first bump literally set it ablaze.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, nice. But with that being said, there's so many different perspectives, from a learning curve mentally to the physical progression, when you have to, you know, you never get really physically used to it, but you get to the point where you can cope with it. Mm-hmm. Talk about, in terms of the mindset, you said you're a fan. You loved it since you're 14 years old. Now you're in it. Can you see it from different perspectives now? You see it from the business side and you see it from the fans' perspective. What side do you see it on? Do you kind of toe the line down the middle?
It's kind of hard being, like, just a fan. Like, I feel like I'm always going to be passionate about it, obviously, because I am going to be in love with wrestling until the day I die. That's how I feel about it. I just feel like now being a wrestler, I do look at it differently, but more in a wrestler's perspective instead of a fan, because I know more. Yeah. So I critique when I watch wrestling now instead of, like, enjoying it. And I feel like, not that I've lost the enjoyment of wrestling, I've watched the enjoyment of watching it. Like, I love doing it, but watching it, it's really different, because now I'm like, oh, well, what about that? Oh, I see that. Oh, I don't like that. I'm more critiquing than actually enjoying it.
Do you critique your matches? Are you your worst
definitely.
Critic?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, there's been countless amount of times that I go into a match and I come out of it and I start crying because I know I messed up, or I know that I did something wrong, or I know I missed this spot, or, you know, I'm definitely always going to be my biggest critic. So when I hear from other people, I get even harder on myself. Yeah. So it definitely is a different viewpoint being a wrestler, but I'm always going to be a fan.
So you still haven't had the perfect match yet, right?
I don't think so. I just...
It's probably an illusion, something you strive for, but it's probably never going to happen.
I mean, a perfect match, it's so rare. I feel like, I mean, obviously there's guys that can flip and do like all these crazy things, and it can be perfect tens all the time. But I feel like because I'm still so new, and I know I'm still so new, I've only been wrestling for 3 years in April. So I know where I stand as a professional in this business. Like, I know I'm still like new and I'm still learning, so nothing is ever perfect for me.
So, okay, 3 years, right, and already in Impact Wrestling. So you're kind of like on that fast track. You kind of like are on fire, like
fire,
like a prodigy. Here. Like
I'm sweating, standing right here next to
you. Know, some
me
people,
too.
some people are here.
It has nothing
like,
to do with the building.
Like five,
maybe
5 years, 10 years, and they don't get to that fast track. Like, but you obviously there's something in you. That obviously there's a knit factor with you. You can tell with the hair. And how long did it take you to, you know, find your character?
Oh, I started doing the fire hair in 2016.
Yeah.
The end of 2016? Might be the end of 2015. I was just trying to find a look for me. Like, it was my look.
Yeah.
I mean, let me not go into that. It was my look. So I was so passionate about just finding something that made me stand out and made me different. And I knew I loved red hair. I've always wanted red hair. That was something like Lita and like Maria and Christy Hemme, like those fiery redheaded girls were always the most energetic in the fire.
Yeah.
And I just wanted red hair so bad. So when I finally found like the girl on fire, I was like, why don't I do fire hair? And my stylist surprised me with the yellow, and I was like, I love it. I want to keep it. And, you know, is it still my look? Yes, it's still mine. I'm
it's
still
hers.
The girl.
It's hers.
It's mine. Okay. But yeah, I mean, when I finally did found it, it's definitely my niche now. Like, people know, oh, there's Kier, you know?
Because you got to stand out, right? You got to be different.
I had black hair one time and nobody knew who I was.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
You said you've been in 3 years, like Jeff mentioned before. Has it felt like 3 years? Or have you had a chance to enjoy the journey sometimes? Because it's really easy to get kind of lost in the journey as you're trying to get to where you want to get your ultimate goal.
I try to just take it day by day and enjoy every moment that I have traveling, being in the ring, learning, doing seminars. Like, I try to just not think about the long haul, because for so long I was thinking about why I wasn't getting this now, why I wasn't doing this, because I saw all my friends, like all girls that I started with, were getting further than me. So I was like, why is it not happening for me? What am I doing wrong? But I just have to remember, everybody's journey is different. Like, everybody's going to take a different journey. Fans are going to like who they like. Like, it's going to happen for me one day. I'm still like trying to just, again, take it day by day, just take every experience with a grain of salt, just enjoy it, and then I'll get my, you know, my moment.
It's good. And obviously, Impact Wrestling, amazing, that roster. I mean, with Tessa, we saw the little, I guess, running that you two guys had backstage.
A little altercation,
there you go, a war of words, so to speak.
Just real quick for me, as far as independent wrestling and as far as like events like this, okay, we're here, Battle Club Pro, Made the Queen Reign. Talk about just the resurgence of independent wrestling and the surge that it's on. Of course, All In is in September.
Yes. 30
you know,
minutes.
Yeah. What do you think? Like, what do you think of just wrestling
right
now? I think
the indies are on fire. Yeah. There it is.
There you go, again.
Hey, I always find a way to put it in.
What's the over-under on puns here on this
I
interview?
I have to put it in every time.
Exactly.
If I find a slot, I just put it in. I'm like, but, I mean, honestly, like, the independents are, like, like, they're on fire right now. Yeah. Like, there's just so many things happening. There's so many different promotions coming up, and there's so many that are doing very well. And I just feel like the independents is where it's at right now. Honestly, I really do.
And with that being said, it's everywhere. There seems to be so much more places where people can hone their craft.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I ask this question, people get tired of me asking it, but I have to because it's so much validity behind it, especially now today in today's business, is that, you know, with so many opportunities to go and you know, work on your craft, there's so many places to now distribute it.
Yeah.
Talking about social media, branding yourself, making yourself popular out there, giving yourself a fan base of you, really marketing who you are.
Definitely.
How vital is that for yourself starting out and also, more importantly, for anybody else coming into this business? It seems like a really good time right now because if you just want something, say I want your stuff, and you want something to Japan, here's a link, go watch it.
I think right now social media is definitely a big part of everything. Everything. I feel like you branding yourself and putting yourself out there and selling what you want people to buy is a huge part of wrestling. Like, I think it's always been a huge part of wrestling, but now that social media is such a big thing, I feel like once you put yourself out there, people are going to watch, they're going to listen, they're going to pay attention. But like, again, I say, like, fans are going to like who they like, they're going to say what they say. I mean, social media is always going to be like one of those things where people are going to be there. You're going to have your trolls and your people. I've gotten it, even though, like,
why?
I don't, it's just.
Why would that happen? Haters.
You know, haters and bullies and people just trying to bring you down because, you know, they have nothing but better to do but to do that because they don't know what to do with their lives, so they just sit online and type mean things to people.
Critique others for their successes.
Right.
They just have never done what you do for 1 second.
I think the only people, like, I feel like some fans will never understand what it's like to step foot in that ring. And they will never understand it. So when they talk about it or they talk bad about it or they come on my page and say mean things or they comment, honestly, I ignore it, I delete them, and I block them because there's no reason to even feed into it. Because if you feed into it, they win.
Yeah. Kara Hogan, thank you for your time. Last one for me is Impact Wrestling recently, well, not recently, in the past, has had that bad rap. Mm-hmm. And now under new leadership, do you see it changing? Do you see the change?
I do. Okay. Honestly, like these last set of tapings that we did with Tessa being there and then bringing Katarina back, they brought a lot of people back. I'm thinking they're really trying to resurrect Impact, I feel. There was a weird dynamic, like when I first got signed, there was something weird going on.
I guess a changeover.
It was just a changeover, but like one. They got the ball rolling finally. It's just like, okay, now they're on a roll. They're trying to get on the roll. They're trying to be on that roll. So I feel like right now I feel like it's going to get big, honestly.
I mean, it's good for the business. It's good for everyone, right?
It is. And one final one for me. With that being said, we just talked about, do you feel there's like a fire in that locker room? Everybody's now enthusiastic, wanting to kind of top each other.
Definitely.
In terms of feeling worried about stability or where, you know, where leadership's going
to
be.
Everybody wants everybody to succeed. I feel like right now, Impact is such a, like, a team effort. There's such a family effort. Everybody wants to look out for everybody. Everybody wants everybody to succeed and do well. In the Knockouts division in particular, I feel like all the women are there for everybody. Like, everybody wants everybody to do well. And Gail's over everybody, so Gail wants everybody to succeed. So I feel like, again, Impact's going to grow and people are finally going to see, like, that good growing dynamic from Impact.
Kara, I'm excited to see you wrestle here. This will be the first time I watch you live and in person. Looking forward to it. That's one of the matches I'm looking forward to tonight. And I want to wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, best in everything that you do. And thank you for coming on the High Spot Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, Hogan does know best. Trendsetter Kara Hogan joins us on the High Spot Podcast. I want to shout out to her. Impressive matchup with Willow Nightingale. And, man, the future is bright for Miss Kara Hogan.
Yeah, not only that, you're completely right on that. The future is, let's just say, it's hot it's scorching, pun intended, on fire. Exactly. What I like in terms of her understanding of where she is in her career and knowing where she wants to go, talking about the evolution of her character, the evolution of where she wants to be, and kind of trying to, she's kind of at a crossroads, she feels, which I thought was pretty interesting when she talked about it, and she is, you know, woman enough to admit it, of where the new adaptation is of her as a performer. But also the fact, too, I loved her intake, too, on the status of you know, the dirty word people like to use sometimes, indie wrestling. You know, it's picked up so much momentum. You know, we talk about the All In event, and that's just kind of a circle of basically everything that's going on right now, and I just can't wait to see what the future holds for her, because that Knockouts division is starting to stack up its roster pretty well with women like Tessa Blanchard that's on it too. So I'm really excited to see what she has in store, because at the end of the day, she might be young, but she does have time on her side.
So definitely Battle Club Pro, May the Queen Reign, lived up to all the expectations. And again, looking forward to their June 16th show in Connecticut, The Malice at the Palace, another female, all-female show. So make sure you go on their website and their Facebook page, Battle Club Pro, for more details. Now they're moving to Connecticut, and I believe they'll be going back to the Bronx, back home in New York, also down in the very near future this summer. So again, if you guys have a chance to check this out, wherever you can get the video on this, definitely make sure you watch Battle Club Pro, May the Queen Reign. Now we move on to a Sunday matinee affair, I believe. Also, too, for Innovative Pro Wrestling, it is their debut show, One in the Chamber. And again, you get to see the future there intermingled with a little bit of the current wrestlers, the current names. And I got to tell you, too, the show delivered again. It lived up to all the hype and a lot of pressure on just Battle Club Pro and Innovative Pro to, you know, give you two straight days of wrestling. Now, a lot of people could have a hangover the night before and be like, okay, you know, we shouldn't expect that much from Innovative Pro. But you know what? Don't ever doubt anybody from those promotions, from Joaquin Morales to Carlos Aristi to everybody in that promotion. Don't ever doubt them, because they're going to give you your money's worth.
That, and plus you're going to be entertained as hell when you see the event there, and you sense from the crowd and us watching it there the motivation that roster has, whether you're talking about Battle Club Pro, the women's roster, or sorry, let me say the icons that are a part of it, and the roster of, you know, IPW as well. Just, you could just definitely tell they were willing to stand up. They were going to let a hangover be an excuse in this part, Jeff. They were going to allow the fact that they were motivated to go, to the fact that, you know, sometimes the weather can be tricky, you know, doing a matinee after a Saturday night show, you know, you kind of wonder how the crowd's going to be. Crowd came out for it. They were definitely into it. A lot of promotion went their way in terms of worked out for them. And the talent in that roster, headlined by, you know, a main event that you and I were looking forward to, you couldn't ask for anything more.
And that main event that you were talking about, Trendsetter, was JT Dunn, Mr. Death by Elbow himself, against the King of Swerve in Shane Strickland, who is also the MLW world champion for MLW. So again, when you see these two names and you're in the area, if you're a true wrestling fan, you need to be there. And what a great day, especially for Memorial Day weekend on a Sunday, to go see that. You're guaranteed a lot of great action. But again, that matchup in itself was worth the price of admission, and that we will get into by talking to JT Dunn in just a few minutes. But one of the matches that was very intriguing, which went all over the place, was the Triple Threat Women's matchup between Maria Manic, who is a very young up-and-comer too in this business, yeah, against Veda Scott and Harlow O'Hara, who the night before had just competed as well in that gauntlet match too. So both females too. Maria Manic also competed the night before, and then this was their second go-around. So back-to-back nights for these females, also Veda Scott as well too. So you know, double duty, and Maria Manic was able to give us a few minutes to talk about exactly what it's like trying to pull, you know, double duty in wrestling, and just her character gimmick, because she's done a whole maybe 180 here as far as character wise because she went from that Barbie doll that we saw at WrestlePro like maybe a year ago, yeah, and now she's become this, I would say, a glamazon. Now the look is different, the whole attitude is different, and now, ladies and gentlemen, here is our interview with the Maria Manic on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, Innovative Pro Wrestling, One in the Chamber. What a match we just saw, a triple threat hardcore match, Veda Scott, Harlow O'Hara, and one of the people that, you know, really, really took it to them is Maria Manic. Maria, how are you?
Well, Jeff, let me correct you there. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for this. It's the Maria Manic.
Thank you.
East Coast Barbie is long dead.
Dead.
New and informed and,
dead and buried.
Genetically, yeah, superior. Than anybody else out there, the Maria Manic. Thank you so much for joining the Hotspot Podcast. How are you today?
Not feeling too great right now, but I'm alive.
That's always a good thing.
But see, I actually feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. I'm just tired. Like, I'm not even in pain. I'm just tired from this weekend.
Double duty, right? Double duty.
Well, yeah, I did two matches last night and then that match today. And life just makes me tired, you know?
Yeah, life's always tired. But what I always wanted to talk to you about, I've been a huge fan of your work. I've met you since a long time ago when you had the blonde hair. Now everything's evolved and changed. I want to talk about that evolution a little bit. What drew the mindset of doing this, not only transforming in terms of your character, your body as well? What drove you to want to pursue that route?
I guess I was tired of, like, the perception I was giving off, I guess. Because when you look a certain way, people automatically think of you in, like, only a sexual way or only eye candy. And I didn't want to be that. I never wanted to be that. But it just kind of happened. And I realized I don't like this. I need to make a drastic change for people to
Since you wanted to change their perception of you.
Yeah. And my I wanted to, I guess, be – I always – liked girls like Chyna and Beth Phoenix, but I never thought I could be that myself. And I was like, you know what? Why can't I? So I started working out really hard. And I realized, like, you know, a couple months in, I started to get bigger and bigger. And I was like, this is not impossible. It takes a lot of hard work, but it's not impossible.
Yeah.
And as I started to get bigger, I started to get better in the ring because I can do more things. I'm stronger. You know, the things I do in the gym help me in the ring. It's not just bullshit, you know, trying to get jacked. It's no, this shit actually helps me. So then I started to get more respect, and then you get a little more confidence, and then that confidence builds and builds and builds, and then you learn who you are. I think before I didn't know who I was, and I was pretending to be something I wasn't, so it didn't correlate in the ring. Now I know who I am, and I know what I can do, and it shows in the ring. Shows I know what I'm doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas before it didn't.
Because it could be very copycat sometimes where you have a lot of, like, the same look, but you've decided to, you know, change that, and you've decided to, you know, be a unique personality. How important is that to find your way here, especially in the wrestling business where, you know, you need to stand out? How do you feel that's done for you so far since you've changed your appearance?
It's cool because, like I said, there's not really anybody like me right now. And I think what's cool about me is I give off the scary, crazy vibe, but I'm also still a normal, pretty girl when I want to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not right now, if you could see me, but...
Oh, stop it. Gosh, she's being modest.
When I said, don't put the camera on my face right now, because I got water dumped on me, so...
Now, she did that because, obviously, I looked disgusting with my beard. I get
that's
it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just think having your own look is cool because, you know, no one really mistakes me anymore. Nobody says, oh, you look like this person, or you look like that person. It's Maria's her own thing. I don't even want to be looked at as a human. That's why I do the monstrosity gimmick. I want to be like, I'm an animal. I'm a monster. I'm a creature. I'm not even a human, which I don't really think anyone's doing. And like you said, there's different gimmicks, but you have to believe your gimmick. If you don't believe what you're doing, no one else is going to believe it. I truly think I'm the strongest girl out there. I think I'm the most dominant. I think I'm the most powerful. So it shows, you know, even if I'm not. Yeah. If I think I am, it's going to come off that way. So,
well, it's like you said, you believe it, so then nobody else has the interpretation but to believe it yourself because you're going out there. It's not like you're pretending, like you said before, trying to be something that you're not.
Yeah,
so, you know,
and that never clicked with other people because they could tell it wasn't original. Now what I'm doing, this is me. You know what I mean?
But just the volume cranked up really high.
Oh, yeah. I can tone it down, but like, I think when you get into wrestling, you think like, oh, I need this gimmick that's totally not like me. But I don't think that's how it should be. It should be you just turned up. But when I started, I was so young, I didn't even know who I was, even outside of wrestling. I was 17. I didn't know who I was. But now I'm older, and I kind of know myself better, I think. So,
Maria, an impressive last couple of days, Battle Pro, Innovative Pro Wrestling. Thank you for your time here and appreciate everything. And, again, the Maria Manic.
Don't get it wrong.
I don't want to get it wrong. At the Maria Manic. I don't want to get it wrong again because after this match, the hardcore match, I don't want her to.
Hold on. Can we say that? I don't know if y'all saw this, but I knocked the cameraman out today.
Oh, I saw it. Yes. I was laughing hysterically.
Because I want that to be on Botchamania.
Yeah.
I don't know why it'd be botched. The botch on the
cameraman. It's not a botch at all, but it's just funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That better go viral because I kicked him so hard because I felt my foot. I was running and I saw him there and I said, move.
I'm still laughing.
He didn't move. And I just feel the back of my foot, like, kick him in the face. And then I look down, he's on the ground, like, plowed out. Oh, I felt so bad. I actually feel bad. I never feel bad about these, but I feel bad.
I felt bad that it wasn't me. You know why? Because I so badly love this business. That would have been my first bump.
Yeah,
he stole it from
me. Was that his first bump?
Yeah, it was his first bump
ever. Oh, it was a hard bump, too.
Yeah.
And I
might as well do it right.
I don't know who he is. I thought I couldn't find him, and I wanted to say sorry, but I don't know where he is.
He's at the hospital right now.
Oh, no, he got like a shoot kick to the face.
Well, Maria, thank you so much for joining the High Spot Podcast, and we hope to talk to you down the road.
And I'll be messaging her for some tips because I need to get bigger. Yep. I need to work
no,
out.
No, don't start that journey. It's not fun.
Thanks, Maria.
Bye.
All right, Trendsetter, I don't know how you weren't shaking in your boots. I know I was. The Maria Manic joined us for a great interview, and I hope to talk to her again soon in the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're shaking your boots. There's no question about it. You're studying your words. Of course, she can be very intimidating, but what I appreciate the most about Maria is from when we met her almost about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, up at WrestlePro, and to see where she's evolved, not in terms of a character, too, but where she's evolved as a human being, as a person, really grasping, having more confidence in herself. You can definitely tell in the ring. I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, she was always critiqued on, she'll be the first one to admit it as well. She didn't really mention in the interview, people critique not only her appearance and the perception of what she looked like as a Barbie doll, the East Coast Barbies, which she once went by, but in terms of her in-ring performance, now she seems more confident. She knows what she's doing. She knows who she is as a not only wrestling persona, as we say, Jeff, but as a person and human being. You know, sometimes perception is reality. When you are more of yourself and you know who you are as a person and individual at this stage in her career, this stage in her life, it's a lot easier to kind of just turn up that volume really high. And she does it better right now in terms of having so much momentum going on her side. You know, people like Jessica Havoc, who has so much respect in this business as a female competitor, loves Maria Manic. So that's a great pat on the back for somebody like Maria Manic, having that confidence, knowing what she's doing is working.
Yeah, no, definitely someone to keep your eye out in the future too. Very entertaining.
How can you not keep your eye out for her?
She definitely stands out. Definitely. And then we had our main event match between JT Dunn and Shane Strickland, and I'm telling you, man, that was an amazing matchup. I mean, just as soon as Shane Strickland came out, then JT Dunn, that anticipation, finally getting to see the two of them there, and of course finding out just how important Shane Strickland was in the future of JT Dunn too. I mean, finding out all those things, because after the match, after a victory by JT Dunn, Mr. Death by Elbow stopped by the podcast table and had a few minutes to talk to us here on the High Spot Podcast, talk about the importance of Shane Strickland in his life and the importance of the independent scene right now in professional wrestling. So he doesn't really do a lot of these, but he was so gracious enough to give us a few minutes on the High Spot Podcast. So here he is himself, Mr. Death by Elbow, JT Dunn. All right, Trendsetter, High Spot Podcast here in Richfield Park, New Jersey, Innovative Pro Wrestling, one in the chambers, in the books, and man, there's so many matches that stole the show, but that main event was...
No, Jeff, there's only one match that stole the show. I'm going to cut you off right there, because what you're talking about is completely irrelevant now. There's only one match that stole the show. The only one match that everybody was looking forward to is this match with this man right here, JT Dunn.
You guys are far too kind, man.
Man,
I miss New Jersey.
I'm just speaking the truth here, honestly. Jeff and I have been huge fans of yours ever since the beginning we had you on the show. And to see you in there performing, doing your thing, and seeing how much you join and love it was an honor for us. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that. I mean, I'm glad that was easily conveyed to the audience, man. I love what I do. I love wrestling guys like Shane, one of the best in the world, the entire world. And to come here, Richfield Park, a building, I got a lot of history here.
But I
feel like that's in the past, and we're on to new things. And here with IPW, their debut show, there's only one main event you can have, and it has to feature the JT Dunn. And tonight, I was feeling it. I mean, the musics were great. Oh, all night long's banging in the speakers. Exactly. Shaka Khan.
You actually, like, put down with Shane afterwards.
I was feeling it, man.
I was
like, wow, JT's feeling the music here.
It's a catchy song.
It really is.
It's Memorial Day weekend, and we're all,
it's a celebration, man. Like I said, I'm happy I get to go home early tonight.
Yeah,
I'm going to be home before midnight. This is a big day.
What does JT do when he goes home after a wrestling match?
I hang with my cat, and I play Fortnite.
Yeah? There you go.
That's my life.
Yeah.
A little bit of it.
Yeah. So when they tell you that you're going to take on Shane Strickland, what the competitive juices must be flowing.
Absolutely.
Together, right?
Immediately.
Then, yeah, and you're like, whoa. And then, you know, how much thought do you put into this match, like, when you take on Shane, too? Because obviously you guys have, like, tore it up the last few years, especially Shane, too, with MLW now, the MLW champion, too. And like, you had a tremendous... you know, send off to Shane here afterwards. And how heartfelt is that? What does Shane mean to you in your career?
Shane is a very important person to me, and I think it took a lot of time. When I got injured and I tore my hamstring at the end of last year, I had a lot of time to sit home and reflect and just really just start paying attention to the details and remember where I came from and the people who were responsible for the growth of my career. And I really never touched on the aspect that Shane played, but he was very vital to it. I was stuck in New England. I was wrestling the who's who of wrestling, but I was in a little bubble, and I needed to burst out, and nobody would take a chance on me. And that's the hardest part in wrestling, is to get somebody to be like, okay, we're going to invest into you. And Shane went to a bunch of people, and he got people to bite on me, and I have not looked back since. And I've been on a mission to be the best in the world, and it's taken me a long time, 10 years now in pro wrestling, various amount of injuries and setbacks and life struggles, but I feel like in the end that's going to make my journey and my story a little bit better, and Shane plays a very important part. So coming here, especially this building with a fan base, is absolutely just salivating over Death by Elbow. It makes it that much more special. And for a debut show to be the featured match on a show that has Woods, Teddy Hart, Zachary Wentz, Jessica Havoc's here, like, that's pretty incredible, man. Dan Moff is here. Rich Swann showed up. Like, I take a lot of pride in that, man. It's more than being a main event. I get to be an example for those who follow me, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you talked about the length of time you've been doing this, and, you know, sometimes for some people it might feel that way. Sometimes it might feel like it just went in the blink of an eye. With your injury now, when you dealt with it, your recent injury, and then coming back from it, do you feel now mentally you're at a stage where you can kind of maybe enjoy the ride a little bit more rather than worrying so much about, you know, last time we spoke to you, it's about, you know, what's next? I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. So maybe you didn't enjoy it as much as that point right now.
Before, it felt like work.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of led into the injury, was just work, work, work. My schedule was full. I just felt like I had to do what everybody else was doing, and I needed to stay busy, or I wasn't over enough. I needed to make a certain amount of money every month, or I wasn't doing it. Now I'm at the point where I'm just like, but I don't give an F. I don't care. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do things the way I wanted to. And that's kind of how I began my career. And that, like I said earlier, that got me into a little bit of trouble. But now I'm a little bit wiser. I know what to say, what not to say. So that puts me in a better position. Now I just want to enjoy my life. And wrestling, it's a major part of my life, but it's not everything for me. It doesn't define me. It doesn't describe my daily activities. There's a lot more that I want to do, and I think that now the injury led me to be able to sit home and game plan and put things together. And I had 3 months to just pretty much sit in isolation in Providence. Ain't nobody else live in Providence, just me, for wrestling-wise. So,
cat was there with you.
Yeah, my cat was there. Yeah, my cat's a godsend, man. I love that little thing. But it allowed me to just start venturing out into different avenues. I started doing some photography work. I started doing work at acting, script stuff, running wrestling companies. Like, I want to get my hands in everything possible, man. I love to learn. Knowledge is power, man, and that's the thing that I've began to learn. It's not about what I can do with my body. It's not about my physical limitations. It's mental, man. It's always going to be mental. And if mental, I'm at a higher capacity than others, that's success for me.
One final one for me is, you said dabbing in everything, and a lot of wrestlers now are dabbing in everything. Like, for example, you know, Cody Rhodes is a perfect example. He's dabbing in being a promoter and
absolutely
now doing this all in stuff. What do you think the state of the business is for independent wrestling right now?
Better than ever. Better than ever. Hearts. We're giving hearts to people. I think it's great.
And smiles.
Lots of smiles, man. I'm smiling all day today. Exactly. Richie Swann's here. That's why I'm smiling. I think wrestling is great because now wrestling isn't defined by pro wrestling. It's defined by whatever the hell you want it to be. If you want to be a promoter and be successful at that, there's now an avenue. If you want to sell t-shirts for a living, there's an avenue for that. If you want to just run shows, like, that's a thing. If you want to be a pro wrestler part-time, that's a thing. If you want to be a wrestler full-time, that's a thing. You don't need a major contract, and I think that's game-changing. Guys like Cody and the Young Bucks being able to transcend that and open the doors and the avenues, and then for guys like Joey Ryan to get a part of that, and then even having guys like Chris Jericho come from one universe and come to the other and show that the leap is possible and success is attainable there. Like, the more people that keep doing that, it's going to open more doors for the next generation.
It's totally true. Does it make you feel like, give you a little pep in your step when you see them do that? And you're like, hey, I can do this thing too, man. I can do
it. Yeah.
Even you promote Strong Style Brand.
Yes.
Right? So that's another thing that you're venturing out to. So you're
I represent Strong Style Brand. It's not mine.
Strong Style, okay, well, you're...
It's not mine.
but you're...
Frankie Scream, that's all him, man. He's the evil genius behind it. Yeah. That's another guy. I'll give him props right now. Frankie is the madman behind all my creativity, my videos, my promos, the relentless documentary series on YouTube. Like, he is a mastermind, and being able to share my story through his vision is something I'm very much appreciative of. And like we were talking about expanding pro wrestling, Frankie is a guy who came from the band scene. He traveled. He was a part of a band, signed to a label, and he left that to start his own journey into clothing and videography work. And he combined those two things into one, formed the Strong Style brand, and now it's one of the most talked about brands in the world.
And before we wrap up here with JT, too, you called out Rich Swann here. We can't leave without that.
Yeah, Rich
Swann, and the fans here were like, you know, salivating, like rubbing their hands, like, whoa, is there a possibility? Man, you and Rich Swann would tear the house down, man. Before Rich left us
and he moved up to everything that he went to achieve, Rich Swann and I were kind of married to each other, and we were doing battle from, literally from the West Coast to the East Coast, everywhere you could possibly wrestle. I wrestled Rich Swann. I have never wrestled Rich Swann in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey.
Let's make history down the road.
And last one for me, Jeff, because if not, you're never going to let me get a word in edgewise. This guy always likes to take the spotlight for some reason.
I have short-term memory, and I don't want to lose my question.
What'd you say? I'm sorry. With that being said, we talked about Rich Swann, and the possibilities are endless in that, something like that.
Sure.
When you call someone out or somebody calls you out, for example, do you take that as a compliment? Is it the manner in which somebody calls you out? Do you take it to the fact that, you know, when that happens and you said, listen, I want Rich Swann, or say he did the same thing to you, challenged you, is it more like, wow, It's starting to fester. I can't wait. The excitement builds up of what could possibly be.
For sure. I think maybe years back I would have called people out in a very immature way, and that's what would have led to me coming off disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I've learned from my mistakes. Tonight, it was literally just a building filled with emotion. And Shane and I shared that main event moment together. I came out victorious, so I think that grants me the permission to talk on the microphone whenever I want, right?
Yeah,
so
I think so, too.
I just happened to grab the mic and look over, and Rich Swann's clapping and smiling at me. And then I realize this is a moment where – not to be selfish, because I think it benefits him, it benefits me, it benefits the fans, it benefits the promotion that it could possibly happen at. But I think me and Rich Swann is something that is beneficial for pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I know that based off of the history that we have together, he's leaps and bounds ahead of where he was 4 years ago when we were sharing the ring together. And I'm a whole different animal than he remembers.
Yeah.
So it excites me. So when something like that, it presents itself in any manner, I'm going to jump at it. I even said I might get in trouble for this, because you're not supposed to do those things, but you're feeling it, man. You're just feeling
it's,
it.
It's the moment. Moment took over.
I live in moments, and that's something I learned through my injury. I'm no longer waiting for opportunities. I'm no longer waiting for somebody to come up to me and be like, JT, it's now your time to be the man. I am the man, and I've been the man, and I've been the man who's helped everybody else get to where they want to be, because that's how good I am. No more. Now it's time for me to get my just due. I'm the best. I'm the best. I've always been the best. And if Rich Swann gets in the ring with me, I'm going to show Rich Swann that I'm the best.
And guys, make sure that is not cockiness. That is just confidence.
That's confidence.
Confidence is in his ability and confidence in what he can do.
I'm the least egotistical person in the world.
Trendsetter.
I can't say the same for Jeff.
This guy over here.
Trendsetter, I think it's a huge accomplishment. We've done the whole interview without JT giving us the death by elbow. So we'll cut this.
My elbow hurts. Shane's got a hell of a
plus
chin.
Plus, he's right-handed, so
yeah,
that's
so,
for
yeah,
you,
so
not me.
So we'll wrap it up.
That's the reason why I positioned myself in this spot.
Smart move.
I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. So, JT, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, man.
Great match as usual, and appreciate it. And you got our support.
Hey, let's make a deal. I'll kick Rich Swann's ass, and then we have another interview after that one.
Sounds good.
He's not allowed to be a part of it, though.
No, of course.
Awesome.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah, he was still sleeping. Nice podcast.
All right, Trendsetter, what a great interview, man. Listen.
I got chills, Jeff.
Yeah, he is the future, guys. Watch him while you can before someone scoops him up, because he is on the verge of greatness. And again, JT Dunn, again, a guy who is just doing it everywhere, tearing the house down everywhere he goes. JT Dunn was a guest on the High Spot podcast, and man, what a great interview that was.
It was amazing. I could have talked to him for hours, Jeff.
You could have, too.
You could have. It's just that good. It flowed that well. And it's been a while since we've spoken to JT Dunn, and,
he's evolved.
Back on. He's evolved. And that's the word, I think, that's going to be maybe the secret word, guys. It will be evolve. And that's my poor impression of Pee Wee Herman. But that's what it is. To see where we were as Jeff, the High Spot podcast, and JT Dunn, where he wanted to start out and where he was in his mindset back then, to where he is now. now. He seems like he's in a lot better place. You know, a lot of people sometimes mistake his confidence, is what I call it, for cockiness. It's not. He's just very confident in his abilities, and he's not going to take no for an answer. And maybe in situations where maybe that kind of got him in trouble, he's learned from it. You know, you like to think as we get older, we get wiser, and he's definitely a lot wiser. And it's just super talented. You know, from the last time we saw him in person perform to where he is now, I dare say he's better than I've ever seen him.
Oh, most definitely, too. And like I said, we've evolved as well from a little task cam with a microphone attached to it. In the
corner. Joked about that. We're in a corner standing up, and, you know, we put all the works for JT Dunn. He was impressed. He was like, wow, look at this setup here.
I know, right? You said that perception is reality. So
it is.
I think that JT Dunn has overcome a lot of obstacles in his life. And I think that he finally gets it. We talked about the injury as well. That kind of sidelines him.
Hamstring,
yeah, the hamstring injury. Now give him a chance to think about things, not take things for granted. So this is a new and improved JT Dunn.
And that's the most important thing you just said right there. Not taking things for granted. Him realizing, not that he needed any, you know, something to remind him, but how much when it's taken away from you, how much you really miss it, how much you really want it. There's very much, Jeff, you and I ourselves and guys, the crew listening to the show. So many times we get up in the morning, we do our normal things, we take for granted the ability that we are healthy, that we feel fine, that we have the ability to have a job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And once it's taken away from us, then that's only do we realize how much we appreciate it. So there's no question that JT appreciates all the opportunities he's had to this point too. And, you know, it's just great to see him in such a – it seems like he's such in a good place right now, himself mentally, and it seems physically as well. So it's great to see that he's you know, the sky's the limit for him.
And, you know, Trenton, I'm going to throw you a curveball here because you talk about not taking things for granted. Somebody else that was on the card too that, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention was Teddy Hart because it's been – we've seen him a lot now as far as being on the East Coast. Yeah. We've seen him in Brooklyn for WrestlePro.
Fortunate to see him, yeah.
We have. We got to shake hands and talk a little bit at one of the WrestlePro shows in Rahway, New Jersey. And again, we saw him this weekend for Innovative Pro Wrestling against Zachary Wentz. And a little bit of a scare. But again, he just tries to entertain the fans. And of course, he's very controversial. He's been on tons of podcasts. You know, you may think, oh, he may be a little bit out there. But at the end of the day, he's all about the fans, too. And somebody that, you know, who, you know, yes, he's had some demons and he's had obstacles in life. And, you know, maybe veered off the path one or two times. But Teddy Hart really left a lasting impression with what he had to say at Innovative Pro.
Oh, yeah, what he had to say is, and I can only sum it into a very heartfelt speech to the audience. I mean, you know, when it comes to a guy like Teddy Hart, when he has the microphone, you definitely know whatever he says, whether it be on a podcast, whether it be in an interview, whether it be in a live show when he's holding a microphone, it's going to be authentic, it's going to be real. And that's what he's always been about. Yeah, like you mentioned before, he's made mistakes, but he's owned up to them. He takes full responsibility for them, and he's trying to better himself, too. So you can only, as a fan or as a supporter or as a family member, only support him in his path, too. But, you know, basically he just went out there and laid his heart out on the line, obviously going through a little scare. Possibly there might have been an injury there.
Yeah, but took a DDT off the edge of the ring apron. His head really looked like it hit the apron, too. A little bit of concern, but Teddy was able to walk off under his own power, too, and, you know, deliver a very powerful speech to the Richfield Park, New Jersey, Innovative Pro Wrestling fans.
Yeah, and it basically just showed the heart that Teddy has, not only for his in-ring performance and his ability to try to be a professional, but his love really for professional wrestling and his appreciation for the fans. You know, it's easy, like I said, to get lost in the circle when you're trying to be successful. You want to be a megastar. You want to go to example for like WWE. You want to be that huge guy that makes all the money, all the riches, all the fame, all the glamour. But at the same time, it all goes back to the fans. You and I are fans. People who listen to the show are fans, and they just appreciate it, and they know that that's what they want to do.
And of course, so we're able to, actually, I was able to roll on that, actually. So what we're going to do is we're going to let you hear that. His message to the fans at Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, Innovative Pro Wrestling.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but again, I've been watching indie wrestling now and taking bookings for 23 years, and what keeps me looking in the mirror and wanting to get on those airplanes and taking bumps and risking my life is the look on your face and how much you love this business and how hard it is now. I had a real job for a while. I never had any idea how hard it was to make money, real money, not asking my dad or my uncle or getting an inheritance, but actually going out, sitting in traffic, waking up at 6 in the morning, 5 days a week for a year or two or three. And I asked the guy, what was his hobby? And he said, you like basketball or you like football. Some people, you like to sit at home and watch TV. You guys love professional wrestling. Indie fucking wrestling. The greatest fans in the world are indie wrestling fans. When the guys in the back understand your sacrifice, we try to work as hard as you guys do to come out here and make sure you go home satisfied. Nothing's worse than watching a show and going home pissed off or miserable. But when you know these guys come out here, we understand what this business is. Two guys, four guys, six guys, a girl, whatever it takes, getting in there and killing each other, but allowing us to come back week in, week out, and put that thing I see on your faces, which is a smile, which when I go to heaven, I'm going to say a collective more claps and teddy chants and smiles than anyone else up there. So yeah, please make sure I get to join my family in heaven, because you guys put a blessing on us. You guys keep us safe. You guys are our angels. We all love you. The guys in the back love you. The promoter loves you guys. Please, every time you walk away, put your head up high and say you watched indie wrestling and you had a good time. And we did a fucking job. You made us have a dream and a purpose. Without you, we have nothing. I love you. Thank you so fucking much for having us.
All right, so that was Teddy Hart, man, and you were able to hear him exactly, his thoughts and his emotions, and all the fans could feel it, man. I felt it too, and Teddy Hart, thank you for everything you do.
I shed a tear. Yeah. I shed a tear. It's easy to do that because, like I said, he's so real. When he says, he's not bullshitting you. He's really telling you how he feels about something, and sometimes honesty isn't the best policy, and people take it the wrong way. I suppose you're being rude, but he means everything he says, and I'm sure the crowd, especially ourselves, appreciate what he had to say.
Most definitely, and man, again, full of surprises, full of great, amazing matches was Innovative Pro Wrestling, One in the Chamber, and, you know, again, their first ever show. They will be back there July 22nd, so you want to make sure you go see that. That is another Sunday show for Innovative Pro Wrestling, so I know the Trentster and I will be there, and they will be going to Hell and Back is the name of the show, so definitely go support them. July 22nd, they will return, and also to Wrestler's Laboratory was there too, and we will do something with them in July as well. They have their show headlined by Joey Janela, who will be there. He will battle for the Wrestler's Lab Championship against Mr. Grimm. So will Joey Janela go in the body bag?
Well, regardless whether he wins or loses, he might be going in the body bag just by all the risks he takes, the punishment he puts his body through. But it's always appreciated by us, and I can't wait to see that. Mr. Grimm, Joey Janela, they better reinforce that ring. They better reinforce that floor right now, because that place, after this past weekend, Jeff, and what we're looking forward to in July, might be falling apart before we get to IPW again.
Yeah, and of course, one of the best matches that we saw was we were supposed to see Nick Cage, wrestler for CZW, renowned there in the tri-state area, take on Dan Moff. Unfortunately, due to injury, which is something that, you know, seeing that emotion from Nick Cage, knowing that he was unable to compete, I think it's the first time he's had to pull out of a show in a while. And
you never want to see that.
No, you never want to see that. You don't want, you know, you want the crowd. Crowd was buzzing for him, man.
They were.
It also was the first time I would have seen him in person as well. So it was something that we were looking forward to seeing in person there at Innovative Pro. But the crowd would not be disappointed, because I think they found an amazing, suitable replacement to take on Dan Moff, and that was none other than former WWE Cruiserweight Champion Rich Swann. Of course, he returned back to the Independents just a few months ago, and you've seen him at MLW, and now we're happy to say that he will be at the next set of Impact tapings. So he is obviously living life after WWE, and he was able to so graciously give us a few minutes on the High Spot podcast. Definitely one of the highlight interviews I've done since we've done the show, Trendsetter, and just your thoughts on being able to get Rich Swann on the show.
Well, I was, first of all, psyched to see him perform, and then the ability to, the 3, 2, 1. Well, first and foremost, I was excited to see him perform live, because I'd only seen him from what I could see from TV. Then to have the opportunity to interview him, geez, it's Christmas early for me, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, again, to Rich Swann, great interview on the High Spot podcast. Always in a good mood. Always willing to talk to the fans. Always willing to share his love for professional wrestling. And he was able to share his thoughts on pro wrestling with us for a few minutes. So here is, without further ado, the highlight of our weekend is definitely sitting down and talking to Rich Swann himself. Here he is on the High Spot podcast.
All right, Innovative Pro Wrestling, what a debut for the company, man. And we're joined by a great surprise.
Talk about debuts.
We're talking about debut. Rich Swann, what is going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm good, man. Like, this was an exciting show. Like, we saw some amazing matches today. And we also had a little party, you know?
What an entrance, man. Like, you had the crowd jumping and... How does it feel to you know electrify the crowd like you do, man? Is it, you always get goosebumps when you go
to the
ring?
You know, no matter where it is, no matter what state, no matter how big the crowd is, how small, when you can pull that type of energy out of a crowd and make them feel the way they do, make them act the way they do, make them give those reactions that we so want, like, there's no other feeling, like, better than that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I do get the goosebumps. Yeah, I do feel it in my body. I do, like, feel the joyfulness. Like, oh, man, I'm making these people smile. Teddy Hart busted, like, the best promo tonight ever.
Yeah.
Like, just saying.
Like, I shed a tear.
You know, making these people smile, that's what we do. That is what our main goal is, you know what I mean?
And you feed off that energy too, right?
Exactly.
That motivates you
exactly.
For moments where maybe you're not feeling 100% or the day's dragging. Like, that energy gets you up to get through the match.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. Like, hey, I'm not ashamed. I threw up after my match because, I was in there with Big Dan Moff, and he made it hurt a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And then the pain tolerance just was not up there.
So you took on Dan Moff, who's, like, a legend. Here,
oh, my
and,
God.
And... You know, talk about that dynamic, too. You got him to dance. For God's sakes, that should be like a championship belt there
that's
in itself for
exactly.
you.
That's an accomplishment in itself.
Dude, I remember sitting back when I was a young man and watching a young Trent Beretta get picked up over Dan Moff's head and thrown from the middle of the ring to a wall.
Oh, my God.
The wall. The wall. The wall. And the only thing that I could think about getting into that ring with Dan Moff is, well, you throw people around, you make them hit the wall. I'm going to make you hit the entertainment wall, and you're going to dance for all the people.
Yeah.
And he did it.
He did it.
It was amazing. Like, I can't even explain that. Like,
I can't.
Just seeing how,
there
like.
There are no words.
Yeah, just seeing, like, how ruthless Dan Moff has been throughout his whole career. And then making him, you know, show a different side of himself to these people, like.
And you could say claim that you're innovative, you're the instigator on that one.
I'm a big instigator. I kind of effed up, as the people said. I gave him a nice little super kick after, you know, told him to show the people what his moves were all about. And I effed up, yeah, and I felt the wrath. But
you survived.
Yeah, I did.
And you sit there and you're observing the match. We saw a main event with Shane Strickland and JT Dunn,
gosh.
Man. And those are two guys I'm sure everyone wants to see you get hit with again, you know? And then JT Dunn basically kind of like, you know, you're just there minding your business.
Yo, he called me out.
And he calls you out. And you know, that's something that, I mean, we'd love to see you and JT.
Man, I don't think that I would have a death by an elbow. I think there'd be a little bit of Phoenix's splashing out of the sky, but you know, I'm down to do that match whenever. Name the place, name the time. JT Dunn, I've known him for years, and freaking, like, we've never had a singles match.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, for us to have a singles match, he called me out in front of all these people, like, yo, I'm down. I'm ready to go.
Now, when something like that happens to you, I know you're a very competitive guy yourself. Is a lot of that, I wouldn't say it's disrespectful calling you out, but a lot of something like that, when somebody does that to you and somebody you haven't worked with before in a singles match like JT does, does that enthrall the excitement, you know, the creativity in your mind? Like, you know what? Wow, what could happen if we do get in the ring?
It makes the juices flow. It makes the ideas come to my head. Like, how could I put this guy away? What could I do? Oh, I've studied his matches. I know what he does. I know he knows what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And freaking, like, to get that dynamic and to get us in there together and to show the people what we got, like, yo, I think me and JT done. Like, and when some, but like, but when somebody calls you out like that, like,
is it a compliment maybe? So like, they yes, want, they want
a,
you.
It's a compliment, but I feel like it depends on how they do it. You know what I'm saying? And how he did it was very respectful and everything like that. But at the same time, that competitive edge, you're feeling
like
that.
You're challenging me.
You're challenging me, dog. Yeah. Like, you really want me in that ring? Okay, all right, cool. We'll light it up. We'll spark it up.
And, I mean, and then, of course, Shane Strickland, who, I mean, obviously, in the last year or so, there's just like, you know, tore it up.
Awesome.
You know, and then, you know, MLW, too. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit, you know. MLW, everyone... You know, saw you. It's crazy. Like, you're there, and you know, it's like a rebirth there for Rich Swann, right?
Yeah, man. Like, it, that was my first promotion that I did like a TV for, and MLW. It's on the rise. It definitely is. And then to have a champion like Shane Strickland, like somebody like who I have watched grow up in this business. I remember Shane Strickland hitting me up like years ago, and like we had a nice like feud together, and you know, ended up like us like becoming like good friends, like best friends, you know. And like to see this guy like where he's come, and like to see what his wrestling has turned into. He's so innovative. He's
the swerve.
Yeah. Like, the swerve for
you
a
know
reason.
What I'm saying, like, for a reason. And like, man, like, he's the total package.
So there is a possibility we could see a future match down the road with you and Shane.
I'd love to have a match with Shane.
We're just making them up right now as we go.
We're fantasy booking,
seriously. Well, one final one for me, and I thank you so much for your time, is that, you know, I've said it to you previously at a Battle Club Pro event here at Innovative Pro Wrestling, how much I'm an admirer of your work. Oh. I wasn't marking out, Jeff, so don't worry. It wasn't.
I'm the one that marks
I kept
out,
it.
So, yeah,
I kept it cool because I am.
We're all marks, man. We all love wrestling.
And I say that with pride, too.
Yes, I do, too, man. Let me tell you something. There's one big boy up there that says, oh, Mark, oh, you guys use that as a derogatory term? Oh, well, you're not like our... You don't love wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're using that as a derogatory term. Yeah. You know, like...
And with that being said, I take pride in the fact that I am a Mark here with Rich Swann. The long process on the road that I always admire you guys when it comes to professional wrestling is the grind and the daily always learning that you guys do. At this stage in your career, do you feel the process is you're still learning, there's still a next level to get to for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. I learn from everyone. I learn from, you know, when I came back and did my first CZW show, mm-hmm. I stayed out here in Jersey and... Hey, see you, brother. I stayed out here in Jersey, and I went to the CZW school, and, man, I learned a lot from kids that haven't even been in the business for 6 months. You can learn anything and not everything, because there's just so much to learn in this business.
Huge learning curve, right?
Yes, it's a huge learning curve. I guarantee you, till this day, Terry Funk is still learning something new.
You know what I'm saying? After retiring for the 100th time, right?
You know?
Something new. Yeah. Talk about that, though. There was a point, though, afterwards that you were like, kind of like, if you're going to retire or leave.
Man.
And was there any self-doubt? Because you love this, man. You love that fan interaction.
I do.
You love entertaining the people. Did you really have like that like self-doubt that like I didn't want to do it anymore?
Because it feels like it comes so natural for you.
Man, I did have that self-doubt. I did have that, you know, I was in a bad state at the time currently, you know. And or at that time,
yeah.
And you know, just seeing the reactions of like certain fans, you know,
awesome
like
board.
How they, yeah,
awesome board,
you know,
man.
I'm like, you know what, man, let me jump my ass back into this ring.
Yeah.
Like, everybody gets the wrestling bug, the wrestling itch. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you decide to hang up your boots, nobody decides to hang up their boots. Mm. It's just a temporary. I need a break.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So it was more mental than anything physical.
Yeah, I needed to get my mental right, because, like, if you're going into that ring and you're not, like, 100% like right there, you got the chance of hurting yourself. You got the chance of hurting somebody else.
Yeah, of course.
Like, and if you're not thinking, like, on that, you know, on the right level, like...
Yeah, it's not like a normal 9-to-5 job where you go in there and you just kind of, you know, just on autopilot. You can't be an autopilot
in
there.
No, you can't be. You got to be given this 100%.
And again, Rich,
everything.
Joining us on the High Spot Podcast. The final one for me is, really, when you go back to independent wrestling, there's times where you're like, oh, is it for me again after, you know, being in WWE? Right now, there's a surge in independent wrestling. Oh, you're talking about All In in September. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Cody maybe taking a chance of leaving, a chance on himself and leaving, and now look where he's at right now. Mm-hmm. What do you think, and just like a show like this, independent pro wrestling pops up and it just, you know, sells out and everyone, you know, loves independent wrestling. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the state of independent wrestling?
The state of independent wrestling is exactly what the state of wrestling was when there was a territory, mm-hmm. when there were the territories, you know what I'm saying? So now you got all these independent promotions popping up all around the states, mm-hmm. not only in the states but in the UK, and like everybody especially with social media these days, everybody knows how to plug their stuff, everybody knows how to get their things in, and everybody like that loves pro wrestling that are geared to that, they're like, oh man, this guy's doing something awesome, and like I feel like it's a chain of all of that,
yeah.
and like independent wrestling is growing.
There seems to be so many more choices now.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, beforehand it was, oh, you know, you can either go to WWE or WCW. Then once they bought WCW, oh, there's nowhere.
There's nowhere else to go.
You know, but, you know, but TNA, they came up there and they did real good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, like, then you have your Ring of Honors and your Dragon Gates and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, they came up, but, man, it was not as hot as it is today.
Wow.
Like, for somebody to be like, hey, we're going to run a show in this 10,000-seat arena.
Yeah.
We don't care if it's, you know, mainstream or not. Like, I feel like independent wrestling is making independent wrestling the mainstream of wrestling.
Awesome.
You know what I'm saying? That's, gotcha. If I could sum that up, that is like, that's like pop culture, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you look in high spots, you can see a lot of freaking like Bullet Club stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're independent, you know what I mean? So,
ladies and gentlemen, again, Rich Swann, Innovative Pro Wrestling, one in the chamber. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Best of luck to you, man. And we'll be pulling for you from anywhere out here in the States and everywhere worldwide, too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me up
High Spot Podcast. Thank you.
High Spot Podcast, yeah!
All right, trendsetter Rich Swann caps off an amazing weekend that was a great Memorial Day weekend for the High Spot Podcast, for the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Really can't say much more than that, man. That was just, wow, man. I got hangover. I'm still talking about it. I still got the Shane Strickland song in my head. I still got Rich Swann's song All Night Long by Lionel Richie in my head, too. So, man, still on a high, on a natural high from an amazing 2 days.
Of course. I got to work on my dance moves, man. Seriously, that music gets to get that beat going. I mean, even Danny Moth was dancing. So I got to work on my dance moves. I mean, I'm half Latino too, so I got to represent, Jeff. But you're right. It was what an exciting weekend to be just a fan. I'm not even gonna say a fan of professional wrestling, just to be a fan of stuff that you're passionate about, and to talk to Rich. And what I found so intriguing when we were speaking to him, Jeff, is the honesty he had in terms of talking about, he was kind of debating whether he wanted to continue on with his career. And that kind of just shows you guys when you're listening to Rich talk, and he's just so happy-go-lucky and just an all-around good guy. And to see the fact that he was coping with, you know, feeling a little bit down and maybe questioning things, you know, as much as we talk about the physical grind and the physical punishment that these athletes, men and women, put their bodies through, it's that mental that, you know, you have to be strong mentally in order to do something, and nothing worthwhile is going to become easy to you. And, you know, Rich had to go through his own trials and tribulations to kind of come out the other end smiling like he was before, and now happy and excited for this new chapter and stage in his career.
And I think the past is in the past. I think all that past that he's been through, I think that's already been, you know, taken care of. He's been cleared of everything. And so I guess there's no reason to go back and dwell on the past. It's looking forward
to
everything.
Leave it there.
And that's why it was great to talk about Rich. Because, listen, we can go into 20 minutes with Rich about the past, but it's not about it. It's about going forward and just his thoughts.
It's the present and the future.
Exactly. It's about taking on Dan Moff and getting him to dance. And then also, you know, being called out by JT Dunn. And how great would that be, you know, and his future for MLW. And then finding out recently, right after we interviewed him, that he will be on the next Impact Wrestling shows too. So you talk about a company that is, you know, just on the upwards trend, and that is Impact Wrestling too. I mean, to get Rich Swann on your roster and be able to do that, it's amazing, man. And great that he has another opportunity to do what he loves.
Oh, yeah. And it's not an opportunity that's just been given to him. He's earned that right. He's earned that opportunity from his track record, from his ability of not only being able to perform in the ring, but captivate an audience, too, with his natural charisma. And then you talk about the past. I mean, from the past, Jeff, you and I both know you can learn from it. You can somehow be down about it sometimes, but you can't dwell on it. And Rich has done a great job of obviously having to deal with some issues with himself internally, and has now kind of turned the page and moved on, and he's happy-go-lucky. And I'm so excited not only for Rich but also for Impact Wrestling. I mean, let's look at the talent pool. We talked about the Knockouts division. That talent pool right now of that main roster, all of them together, the Knockouts and the entire roster, is definitely seems to be getting the motivation. We spoke to several people saying that there's a lot of motivation, there's a lot of enthusiasm in that locker room, which hasn't been there before. Part of it might be in terms of now management seems to be more stable, but again, it looks like they want to prove and kind of bring out from the ashes what Impact used to be when it was TNA to now form it to a new innovative type of promotion, which we're excited to look at and to be a part of as well.
So definitely Impact Wrestling is on an upswing, and so is Battle Club Pro and Innovative Pro Wrestling, man. What an amazing recap show here. We had to do one, man. These interviews definitely belong to both
companies.
They're
too good not to be a part of the show.
Yeah, they belong to both these companies, too. And kudos to them. Just a shout-out to, again, Carlos Aristi. And also congratulations on a baby girl. Talk about this, man. A gender reveal through a match, man. The Caveman versus Veda Scott to open things up on Saturday. Yeah. I had no freaking idea it was for a gender reveal. And then we see Carlos celebrating with the family. And then, okay, so the girl wins, so it's a baby girl. So I think he started something here.
He did. First time ever, another first two, a gender reveal match. Wait, Jeff, you're a little too busy because Jeff was selling out his merch on his table. Seriously, he's ridiculously selling out T-shirts all over the place. So maybe he wasn't listening to the announcement. But, somebody like Carlos, who's somebody who doesn't like to get on the microphone, doesn't like to draw attention to himself going out there, mentioned it to the audience, and the audience was so enthusiastic and excited, literally mauling Carlos. And he was smiling from ear to ear that he's going to have a little baby girl too. So congratulations to him, to the family. Another first that we've been a part of too, a gender reveal match too. So, this funny business that we cover professional wrestling, I guess it's true what they say, never say never.
Yeah, never say never what you will see in a wrestling event. Again, congratulations to him and Joaquin Morales too on an excellent booking of the matches too, and just being able to get everything together. I still don't know why these guys want to be promoters, but you know what? They love it. There's a passion. They are wrestling fans. So again, kudos to them. Innovative Pro Wrestling again knocked it out of the ballpark for its debut, and they return July 22nd. Wrestlers Lab returns also too in July as well. I'm still drained, man. Trendsetter. Amazing weekend again. And we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. And you can follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast. Trendsetter, where can they hear us?
Well, you guys can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating review. It only takes a couple seconds. You can also listen to the show on the various platforms out there. SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean.
And make sure you watch our High Spot Podcast YouTube channel. All interviews from this episode will be available on our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe immediately. You'll see Rich Swann. You'll see Mia Yim. You'll see Kara Hogan. You also see JT Dunn as well. All the interviews as well. Miriam Manic also will be on our YouTube channel as well. So, guys, definitely make sure to subscribe. We're already up to 400 plus subscribers.
Thank you so much. And every single member of the crew for making us have 400, over 400 subscribers.
And growing, man, per day. So, listen, 400 may be a little speck to some people, but no, we truly appreciate it, man. We didn't even think we'd get like 40.
I was so happy when we got that one, guys, and it really means a lot to me and Jeff, too, that you guys show us the support every single time, whether we're putting out podcasts, whether we're putting out video content on our YouTube channel, whether we're doing stuff for the High Spot Podcast or Adventures with the Trendsetter, anything else Jeff and I are planning on doing, especially now in the near future. We have a couple ideas that we want to, prepare you guys for. We'll be making announcements for that as well, and hopefully you guys are entertained with that too. So, for the Jersey Wrecking Crew, I am the Trendsetter, Brian Berga, for my tag team partner, and the one and only Jeff Martin. We thank you so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast, and remember, the reason why we do this, guys, there's only one reason. We do it first and foremost for you,
the crew.